But the reason that that marriage was successful is because we have another set of principles called the 12 traditions. And the 12 traditions are written on us how to have relationships with other people. Now, they're written for the group, but the group is the first portion of relationships that we have in recovery. And each one of those traditions have a spiritual thing behind them. And I'm going to go through them. I haven't done this in a number of years, but they asked me to go through them. So I'm going to go through each one of these traditions and identify the spiritual principles behind them of how this are so dynamic within our relationships. In the first tradition, it says our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. What is unity? Unity is not uniformities. It's oneness. It's binding together. And it talks in here our common welfare. Well, our common welfare in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous is that we suffer from a common disease, and our common welfare is that we are to recover together from the disease of addiction. And that's what we have in common. And if we bind behind that common thing that we have, that unity, which is a spiritual principle, then we'll all recover together. But that principle works in our home groups when we're having relationships with our other members, that if we remember what we're there for and our common welfare, when we come together for group conscience and we focus on our common welfare, then that unity will always manifest itself. But take that same spiritual principle and bring it into your family unit, and you identify the common welfare of that family, and all of a sudden that family becomes unified rather than separate. And that's a very dynamic principle when you come into work and you're working a job. What is the common welfare of every person on that job? If you identify it, then you have unity, and all of a sudden your job and your professional life becomes better. And then in our second tradition, it talks about, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants that do not govern. For the group, we have one ultimate authority, and that ultimate authority is a loving and caring God that comes together when all of our minds come together and try to bring some kind of consciousness together. And then it further goes on to say that is the ultimate authority. And then it talks about our leaders are but trusted servants. And what does that mean? It means that our leaders do not govern. And the word govern strictly means to make decisions for us. And when they say our leaders are but trusted servants, they're trusted to carry that ultimate authority, that loving group conscience, to represent us and not govern for us. And therefore, it binds the anonymity of the first tradition. And if we take that spiritual tradition of that group conscience into our family units, what happens? We have no leaders in the family. We may have a husband and we may have a wife and we may have children, but each of them have their anonymity. And they may have certain designations of what they do within the family unit, but there's no boss. There's just a loving authority as God that expresses in the consciousness of that family. And therefore, the leader of that family or designated leader of that family does not govern that family. He carries out the wishes of the family unit, the group conscience of that family. And all of a sudden, when addicts start practicing the second tradition within their family unit, loving relationships begin to blossom and busted relationships begin to come back together, because it's a spiritual principle on how to have a good relationship. And our third tradition says the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. And in this fellowship, that means everybody is welcome. Even the person using, as long as that person using has a desire to stop. And you know, sometimes we make fun of relapsers, but I'll tell you, can you imagine how hard it is for a relapser to come back into these rooms and face us? I give credit to people that have the courage to come back. And the fact that they show up again means that they have a desire to stop using, or what else would they be doing in these rooms? You know, and sometimes we drive people out by saying, what are you doing here? You're making a joke of recovery. You can't stay clean. If they drag their ass back in, they have a desire, and we have an obligation to carry that message. But take the spiritual principle behind that third tradition and bring it into your family unit. Every member of our family has a right to be a member of that family if they have a desire to be there. And sometimes we have disowned our children or our parents have disowned us. But if we practice that spiritual tradition of the third tradition, our mended family units start coming back together. Because the only thing they require to be in our family is a desire to be there. And our fourth tradition, what talks about each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Well, that's written for the group, and that simply means that any NA group could do anything it wants to do, except if what it does affects the other groups in the area or NA as a whole. And that's why groups have the right to have their own meeting formats. Every meeting format at a group does not have to be the same. They could have different topics. They can have different styles within their recovery, as long as that doesn't affect the other groups in the area or Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. Because, you see, the group is supposed to express the personality of its home group members. And that's what gives diversity within our fellowship. But yet, if we do that in our family units, that we say that every member of our family is autonomous, except when to do so would affect other members of the family or society at large, we have a very valuable principle to have within our loving relationships. If a husband allows his wife to be totally autonomous and do whatever she wants, as long as it doesn't affect the family unit or society at whole, relationships strengthen. You see, it's not about control. It's a lot about letting people grow and have the autonomy to be their own self, their own free human being, as long as it doesn't affect the family unit or society at whole. And then our relationships begin to get better. And see, if we're working just steps in our life and not traditions, we only got half a program and we wonder why we're miserable. And we didn't come in recovery to stay miserable. In the fifth tradition, it talks about, what's the exact wording? Let me see. Each group has one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict that still suffers. And that's the primary purpose of a group, to carry the message that any addict can stop using. Any addict. And that's our primary purpose. We're not here to carry about that you can get a good job, you could find a relationship, you can get marriage counseling. The message that we carry, our primary purpose is you don't ever have to use again. You don't have to feel the horrors of addiction. That's our message. That's our primary purpose. And if we carry that same fifth tradition into our families and we identify what's the primary purpose of a family unit, the purpose is that the family becomes functional, loving, and caring. And that's the only purpose of the family. And we've learned that by being a member of a home group and being participating in home group and learning these traditions and carrying them. And the sixth tradition is nothing more than an extension of the fifth. It talks about what happens if we don't carry that primary purpose, if we don't follow a fifth tradition. It says an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. For the groups, it simply means is we don't have affiliation with clubhouses, with rehabs, with detox centers. We simply are with them through cooperation, not affiliation. Because once we affiliate with something, then money, power, and prestige gets in there. And us addicts are terrible with money, power, and prestige. We corrupt very easy. The disease of addiction is a disease of corruption, and we have seen many addicts with many fine programs through money, power, or prestige become corrupted and their whole program. And then after when all said is done, there's a lot of relapses over it. So the sixth tradition tells us how not to divert from that primary purpose. But if we carry that principle of not diverting into our family units, and we know what our family unit is there for, and we don't divert from the primary purpose, if there's no cheating going on or other things or taking food money and gambling it away, that the primary purpose of the family that is to function and not divert from it, then families get stronger and better and addicts get stronger and better and we recover better. And relationships get better and families don't break up and there's not divorce. And the seventh tradition tells us we ought to be self-supporting through our own contributions. And we know the reason for that. If we have a meeting in the church and the pastor of that church says, well, you folks are doing a good job. You can have this meeting space for free. And we accept that. That means 2 months later when he wants to come down and preach to us before the meeting, we have to sit there because, you see, we're beholden to him. But if we pay him rent, we're a tenant. And we're there for Narcotics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous only. And that means that we support ourselves. And supporting isn't always reaching into your pocket and taking money out, because many addicts walk in here and don't have a penny to put in the basket. But what we can do is clean ashtrays, sweep floors, put tables up, make coffee. That's all part of being self-supporting. And you see, when you learn to do that within Narcotics Anonymous, you learn to be self-supporting and pay your bills. And when you learn to do that and pay your bills and be self-supporting, your family becomes stronger. Your relationships become stronger. But you learn that by being in a home group. And then we go on to the eighth tradition, and it talks about Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers, which simply means no matter who you are outside of these rooms, whether you're a doctor, lawyer, or candlestick maker, when you walk into the rooms, you're just an addict. Your professionalism is left outside the rooms. And we have many people in these rooms that work in rehabs, our addiction counselors, our professional people of all types. But you see, when you come in the rooms, we all become equal, and therefore we're all the same. And you know, we don't have any professionals in Narcotics Anonymous, but we can hire professionals to do the work that we can't do ourselves. And that's where it says, for instance, if we have a service office, we can hire somebody, whether they be an addict or a non-addict, to be an employee there. But when they're an employee there, they're not part of Narcotics Anonymous. They're employed by Narcotics Anonymous. And that's where the distinction ends. And when we talk about NA, we're talking about in the rooms, we're all the same. And in our ninth tradition, it says NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. What is NA as such? Well, the second edition of the basic text explained it very beautifully. NA as such is the recovery meeting. And that's all NA is the recovery meeting where we meet to share our experience, strength, and hope. And then when he talked about the ninth tradition in the basic text in the first and second edition, it says all else is not NA. And unfortunately, that was taken out when they made the thing to the third edition, but that stays the same today. NA as such is the recovery meeting, and that ought never be organized. But that recovery meeting may create service boards or committees to do the other things. And those committees are responsible to those they serve. And who they serve? They serve the home group who serves its individual members. And that is NA as such. So we don't stop an NA meeting in the middle of it and say we're going to have business now. That is conducted before or after the meeting. But that those service committees are responsible directly to the individual addict. You see, the World Service Office is responsible to the regions. The regions are responsible to the areas. The areas are responsible to the groups. And the groups are responsible to its individual members. It's an inverted pyramid. But yet we have people in this fellowship that think that we are responsible to the world. We are not. The world is responsible to the individual addicts. Because through group conscious, we could change anything in Narcotics Anonymous. Starting from one member coming into a group, making a motion, sending it to area, to region, to world. And that's how things are changed. But we also can all take that principle in our family, that the family as such is not organized. The family is that little loving, caring unit. But that family can organize committees that are directly responsible. They can organize a member to pay the bills, another member to do cleaning, another member to watch the children. But they're all responsible directly to the family unit, not to an individual. It's a spiritual principle that gives us that autonomy within the family. And then in the 10th tradition, it talks about Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the NA name ought never be drawn in the controversy. We have no opinion what the government does about drug addiction. We have no opinion what the politics of a country is. We have no opinion on anything outside the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. As a member of Narcotics Anonymous, I have no opinion on anything in this whole world except on my personal recovery within the rooms and what goes on in Narcotics Anonymous. If we do so, we drag the NA way into controversy. If I go around talking about who I believe the politician should be and what should be done in a world on drug addiction, they're not saying that Vito said it. They're saying Narcotics Anonymous said it, because I'm speaking as a member of NA. So I cannot have an opinion on anything outside of these rooms. And if we take that spiritual principle into our family units, If we have only opinions what's going on in our family, and we have no opinion what's going on to the people next door or on the other side of us, all of a sudden we get along with our neighbors. And we've learned that by coming into these rooms and not having opinion on outside issues. We have opinions within our own families, but what my next door neighbor does within their families is an outside issue. And if I stay out of it, I can remain friends and have relationships with those people. And again, it's a spiritual principle. And this 11th tradition talks about our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We always need personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films, which is for a reason. Anonymity, if I was to speak on television on behalf of Narcotics Anonymous to public, I would be Narcotics Anonymous. And I don't have a right to speak for this fellowship, and none of us do. So we keep personal anonymity at that level of radio, press, and film. I could break my anonymity with anybody I want as a person, but I can't do it on behalf of the fellowship. And the same thing, if I learn that within my family that I maintain anonymity and protect their will and not go around saying what's going on in my family to people that have no business, all of a sudden my relationships get stronger. And then the 12th tradition sums up all the traditions like the 12th step does. It says anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, which simply means that anonymity runs through all of our traditions, and it's the foundation of them all. And then it goes on further to say, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And what that simply means is we take the personality out of the way. When somebody comes into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I don't care if they're ugly, beautiful, good-looking, rich, poor, professional, gutter, it doesn't matter. If we get the personality out of the way and we allow them to be nothing more than an addict, then they can recover and we can recover at the same time. How many times have we seen a new girl come into the rooms, sick as can be, trying to get clean, and all the guys just can't wait to take advantage of her? What has happened is they have not given the 12th tradition, because see, they identify her as somebody that they can get with rather than let her recover. But if we let everybody come into the rooms, they're not male, female, black, white, red, yellow, they're nothing more than an addict, and they can recover and so can we. But the minute we put a personality to it, good looking, bad looking, rich, poor, they can't recover and either we can. Anonymity in the 12th edition doesn't just mean what you hear at meetings, leave there. It means allow a person to be nothing more than an addict. Get the personality away. And when I identify myself at meetings, I say I'm an addict called Vito, and I always put the addict before my name to remind me to place the principle of addiction before my personality. And see, if we take that same principle and allow it into our personal relationships and get the personality out and let the person be themselves, another human being, we get along well with people. And that's why these spiritual principles, all 24 of them, are important. The 12 steps for my personal recovery and the 12 traditions so I can have relationships with other people.